And man, it's a pretty decent day out. We got some good foot traffic going on Michigan Ave. Lots of smiling faces. It's not freezing out. Dave Miranda's keeping the studio warm inside.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to at least, especially I'm motivated today because I was going through your Instagram. I was being nosy this morning.
You were. Did you find anything interesting?
I sure did. Something that
any dirty
really
laundry?
No, not at all. You had a phrase that said, from a barn to a boardroom, like life, you end up in places you never imagined.
Yes. I was feeling very philosophical at 3 a.m. if you noticed the time of the
post.
Haven't been sleeping much lately, Dave.
And it's not the, your son's tonsils this time.
Oh, it is.
Oh, is it?
Yes. He just happens to get, he's on his second week, and they say, like, you know, it's the second week's actually worse than the first. Like, the first couple of days, and the poor kid, he's doing great, but he refuses to take medicine. So he's going at this, you know, solo. And he's doing great for the most part, but the nights are rough. It gets a little sore, and he's tired, and so he wakes up screaming, and then, you know, I just have a hard time going back to sleep. So I'm like, yeah, let me get some work done. So I start writing a little bit of my book, and I found it, and I found some pictures as I was flipping through my phone, because that's what you do at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're,
you
know,
can't talk to anybody,
insomniac.
Really.
Yeah, you can't really call people. Well, I guess maybe if they're like in China or something.
Social media.
Yeah. So I came across a recent installation we did for a former Chicago Bears player, Izzy Adonijé, down here in the South Loop. He owns a couple buildings, and we redesigned the front end of his office unit. And I was thinking, you know, we use this 100-year-old reclaimed barnwood from our good friends at All American Reclaim. And did the walls up, and it just looks so amazing. We did a barn door, an awesome huge barn door, and I was like, you know, man, this wood 100 years ago would have never thought, because, you know, everything's alive in my world on a quantum level. Everything is alive.
You can bring it to life if it's not.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, here it is, repurposed 100 years later. And it's living in this chic little posh downtown, you know, building, and has a brand new life now, probably for another 100 years. And I thought, how cool is that? And it's so much like life. You just never know where life takes you. You know, all these experiences, and you start off in one place, and you can only imagine where you're going from there. And then, you know, many, many years later, you're sitting in front of a radio studio and a microphone and WGN 720.
That's what happens.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, being a little bit nostalgic, because one of our guests coming up is, you know, being represented by one of my first publicists, Julie Rusin, who, when I first moved to Chicago and I was filming HGTV's Design on a Dime, we met, like, literally, she was one of the homeowners on the show. And she was one of the first people cast. And we just hit it off and was like, boom, let's do this. She's like, I'll represent you. I'm like, shoot, let's do it.
That's the way of the universe telling you you're doing something right, and you're going somewhere, because you reconnect with your past to move on forward.
Yeah. Never lost contact, but kind of, you know, she had kids, we had kids, got married. You know, things changed in the business, and now there's the evolution, and we're back, and now we're talking again. She's brought some really great people with her today. She's representing Amy and Josh Storm. They're opening a brand new design showroom out in
Glen Ellen,
and they brought in some stuff to show us in studio. Really cool couple, kind of like Sherry, my wife, and I, where, you know, they're the dynamic design duo. Although her husband quit his job to work with his wife, Josh.
I wonder how healthy that is.
Let's ask him. He's going to be in here shortly. I can tell you how it is for me. It was great. It was awesome. No, I mean it. It really is. It's fun. If you're watching, honey, I love you. Yeah, so what's up, Rodney Perry, who's watching right now on Instagram, which is cool. Hey, folks, follow us on Instagram at Frank Fontana. You can watch a live feed of the show, and we'll say hi to you, to give some shout-outs, and keep the show rolling. We have a huge group of guests coming in today, and a very diverse, eclectic mix, Dave. We are speaking with Amy and Josh Storm from their showroom is Storm Design. If you can follow them on Facebook at Design Storms, and then on Howls.com, they actually, if you're into Howls, which everybody is, they have Kitchen of the Week this week. That's huge, man. That's huge honors. I'm excited to talk shop with these folks, designer to designer. We're gonna see what trends are happening, what new furnishings are coming. We're going to learn what's in their showroom. You guys can actually go visit it after this conversation if you fall in love. It's a beautiful thing. And coming up after that, we're going to be talking to the folks at the Art Institute of Illinois. They have a brand new fashion show. I think it's called Pulse, right, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, it's coming soon, and we're going to have some of the designers and models coming in, and they're going to be giving us some stylish tips and fashion trends. because God knows I could use them.
Yes, we do.
I actually especially dressed up today. Did you notice?
Yeah, I was wondering why. I'm like, nice jacket frame. Look at you.
Well, we have some fancy people coming to the studio. As a matter of fact, we got some heavyweight politicians joining us as well. You know, typically we're not a political show, but, you know, I support some good people here and there.
And want to do good stuff in the community,
we
especially.
Want to, exactly. People who are doing great things in the community. And the Deputy Secretary of State, Tom Benigno, is joining us live in studio. He's running for mayor of Norridge. And he's going to be here to discuss his platform and what he stands for. And you guys can ask questions. It'll be a fun time. And our call number is 312-981-7200. You can always text in your questions or text us anytime during the show. We'll always take your calls. What else, Dave? Did I miss anything? Oh, yeah, we have a Frank's Fave product that Dave was describing to me. Dave, now, describe to me again, what is this product?
You know what it is? I use this gel where every time I have to cut the bottle because there's literally like enough for a week and a half gel.
Yes.
And I'm like, I wonder, somebody has to come up with a product where you don't have to be cutting your creams,
oh,
your
so like
gels,
you do, right.
Your...
So the back of it, you cut the back of the bottle or
yes.
the bottom of it to get to scoop out the rest of it.
Yeah, because I still use it for like another week. I'm not kidding. After nothing comes out, I can...
You're still just fighting for that drop that's
yes.
left. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just buying another bottle. Yeah, I get you.
It's a lot, you know?
So this device, this product, will actually save us from the horror of trying to squeeze that last drop out?
Of your beauty products, yes. So it's called Butility.
Butility. All right.
And it comes in handy, especially if you want to save some money in the long run.
We're here from 1 to 3 every Sunday. We like to chop it up, talk design, talk home, talk lifestyle. Our motto here is, it's not just about home improvement, it's about life improvement. And I'm a big believer that design can do that. And I believe my next guest, Amy and Josh Storm, would agree with that notion.
We do.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Don't be shy. Get on cozy up to that microphone and let's talk about it. So, guys, tell me about, first off, a lot of people are asking, how it is to work. I got that same question. Working with your husband or working with your wife, who should I ask first here? Because you left a job of 17 years to do this, right, Josh?
I did, yeah. I was in promotional marketing as a creative director, and there came a time where it just made a lot of sense for us as a family to consolidate and work together. So.
And how's that been so far?
It's been pretty amazing, actually.
Do you miss your job at all?
Depends on who's listening.
I have a marriage counselor that's coming in right after this, so we're all good.
No, I don't actually at all.
Good. That's a good thing.
I keep telling people I work just as hard as I ever have, which is interesting. But
that's great. And you keep them working hard, I'm assuming, Amy.
We keep them very busy, yeah.
Yeah. How did you get into the business?
Well, I have a degree in interior design. I went to college for it, and I had a great job. It was my dream job, working for a hospitality design firm for 9 years. And we had our first child, and I needed to be with my kid. So
good mom.
I quit my job. It was very sad. But the next day I got a phone call. Somebody wanted me to do freelance work. And so Design Storms was born, and that was in 2004. And I don't think I've come up for air since.
So it's Design Storms, right?
Design Storms yep. is our interior design studio.
Yeah, so when I was talking to him in the green room, I'm like, gosh, I feel stupid because I was looking at the name and I was like, wait a minute, Design Storms, did they start this because they, you know, like salvage storm paraphernalia and make furniture out of it?
That'd be
something?
A great story, but it's
you
not
should.
Accurate.
I mean, just throw it in there. Yeah. But I like the story you said, which, you know, I'm a big believer in the law of attraction, and I think you indirectly used it. I don't know if you believe it, but you tell the story real quick.
Yeah. When Josh and I were first married, I told his dad, I'm going to open a store someday and I'm going to name it Storm. And, you know, we kind of laughed about it, and it wasn't necessarily something that we ever sought out to do. It just happened in the last couple of years. I can't explain it. It just, there was a need for it, and we felt like it was time to move, and so we did it.
Yep.
And Josh, you left out the part where you said that you told your father-in-law that you're going to steal that name someday and use it on a store, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, she kind of put him off a little bit.
Yeah. Has he come back to sue you for rights at all?
Not yet. We're expecting it this
yeah.
year.
A little licensing fee at the end of that?
He's going to wait till the grand opening.
Yeah. Tell us about the grand opening.
So this week we are having our grand opening for our showroom, Storm Inspired, and this is a new business for us. It's a sister business to our design studio. And really it was born out of a need to have a place for our clients from from our Design Storms business to sit and touch and feel the furniture that we were selling them, the pieces that we were specifying the most. We didn't have access to them anywhere in the area, and we would constantly be traipsing people through our home, having them sit on our furniture, or calling clients and being like, hey, you know, can I send some people over to sit on your couch this Saturday? And it just kind of got old. And as the business grew and we had more and more clientele, we just thought, gosh, we really need a place for people to go and see all these products. And so once we found the space that we were going to rent to move our studio out of our house, which, by the way, we had seven people working in our house. Wow. For a couple of years, we had folding tables in
our
bedrooms.
Sounds like my house right about
now. I mean,
yeah,
it was a disaster. So once we found the space, and it allowed for us to open a showroom.
Good for you. I mean, that's like a great, you know, rags to riches story. Well, not quite rags, but riches to riches.
Well,
possibly
a day of rags.
Yeah, I mean, a day is not a bad thing. People have a lifetime of rags before they hit the riches. That's a great thing.
Right.
And so now, you know, that dream, even as a designer, I've contemplated this myself. Like, oh gosh, and we send people all over the place, like you're saying, mm-hmm. to actually have that showroom. You know, and what was it like to actually put it together? I mean, that's a daunting task to say. I mean, A, did you purchase everything, a sample of everything, or did you, you know, work deals out with manufacturers, say, hey, I'll represent your product, just give me some stuff here and I could probably sell more of it?
That would have been wonderful. That didn't happen. We saved up for years, and we essentially bought everything out of pocket. And we were actually supposed to open in April. And through a whole series of crazy things that happened with the building we were moving into, we didn't get the space till December. So we had bought everything in January, and it arrived in the warehouse in April, and then we moved it in December. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know what I had anymore. So so that was kind of exciting to see it all get into the place. And we've, over the last month or two, we've sort of been refining what we have
sure.
in the showroom, and we've brought in some new vendors, and we're just super excited because there is no showroom in the Midwest that carries this line of furniture.
That's great.
And
all custom?
Well, the rugs and the upholstered furniture is custom. The case good line is made basically to order. And then we have a lot of other things in the showroom that you can just pick up and take with you. So we have vinyl rugs. We have a line called Dunes and Duchess, which is candelabras and light fixtures.
Sounds fancy.
We've got beautiful
throws. It is fancy.
We've yeah. got candles. Well, what's unique about our showroom is we're open to the public. So we do have a trade program. Just like,
how big is this space? How many square feet?
It's a little under 800.
That's, I mean, enough.
Yeah, it's not huge, but it's plenty yeah. big for what we're doing.
Certainly.
So,
is it harder to decorate for yourself than other clients?
That's a good question.
And Josh, do you have a design background, or have you learned from your wife?
I have a graphic design. So
oh, so you got the visual.
I have the visual yeah. Aspect going.
Perspective, layout, all that stuff.
I have nothing to do with anything that's inside of our home or...
Yeah, purposely, right?
Purposely.
Yeah, you don't want to get
we
involved in
this. We remodeled back in 2011, and every once in a while, she would bring me a
sample
a
of something.
This is what we're doing.
But knowing she knew exactly where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I unfortunately, it's the same thing in my house. I, you know, being the designer of the two
yeah.
with my wife,
mm-hmm.
I make like, you know, like, honey, it's, you know, look at this great color palette. Isn't this awesome? We really should go with this one, right? You know, this is, don't you think? You're like, I mean, it's ultimately, you know,
a little yeah. manipulation here.
A little manipulation. But, you know, I think there's a gimme. I'm sure you had a couple gimmies in there, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would bring them, say, two layouts and say, you can have one of these two for the master bathroom. Which one do you
both
want?
Both pre-approved by you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
I like that. I like that kind of negotiating style. But all in all, it works out, right?
It works out great. Josh yeah. does all of our marketing and our Instagram and our Facebook and all that kind of stuff, which I have no skills in.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's neither just... do I. I'm just holding this phone and going for it.
It's good. We sit back to back in our showroom, and it's great. It's a little bit of accountability. You know, if I get frustrated or tired,
yeah.
or there's always somebody there to make sure I behave well. And
my elbows are pretty sharp.
Are they?
Yeah.
Just nudging them?
Mm-hmm.
How many kids you guys have?
We have two. We have a 12-year-old daughter who's going to be 13 in a couple of weeks, and we have an 11-year-old daughter.
Wow.
And
they involved in the business? Or
very much so. They're super excited. They spend a lot of time helping us set up the showroom when we first got it. They spend a lot of hours there when we were first setting it up. And I think they're just proud of their mom and dad.
Do you thank them for making you quit your job?
Does he thank them?
Yeah. No, what I mean is, like, in general, you said that, you know, you quit your job because you wanted to be a better mother. Unknowingly, your daughter was the catalyst for this entire thing.
That's right. She does not thank me, but she should.
Sounds like you got some points to spread out of your company. Her. I think your dad received some points. Your daughter received some points in this whole thing. It would only be fair. That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
All right, listen, we got to take a quick break. We are talking to Amy and Josh Storm. Storm Inspired Showroom is the grand opening is coming up March 10th and 11th, the entire weekend. I'm assuming there's going to be festivities, wine and
all
cheese
kinds of good
and
stuff.
Clowns, circus performers.
Circus performers, right, pink elephants is what I heard, yes. Possibly. That's great. I mean, I'm excited to check this out. Is there going to be like any discounts for that day, or is it just kind of just come and see the rooms and take it from there?
We are offering on Friday, we're doing actually a 15-minute free design consultation. So our entire Design Storm studio staff will be on hand, and people can call in and set up a time that they want to come in with their
you hear that, folks? That's
design
huge.
Issues, and yeah. We'll help them. And then we'll be open all day Saturday. We're having giveaways, and we'll have all of our staff there. So people can just come, and we want the public to use the showroom too. So if you're not a designer, you can still come in, and you can purchase a custom piece of furniture. So we want the public to feel comfortable coming in. So we have lots of giveaways and snacks and stuff like that all day Saturday.
Food always gets people there.
Yes.
I mean, food and booze.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the website? Oh, did I ask a wrong question? I'm sorry.
This guy hasn't slept for like 3 weeks.
Josh, you know what? I have to put you on task here. Your job is social media and web. I mean, this lady's busting her butt designing.
It's terrible.
All right, so listen, that's an easy thing, though. I'm sure it's almost there.
It's storminspired.com.
Yeah, storminspired.
We're launching it this week.
Okay. But you're on social, right?
We are on social, yeah.
Yes.
Instagram,
we're on
Facebook.
Instagram and Facebook, and we're working on we're actually putting it on house, too, the Storm Inspired, but it's not up yet.
Yeah, take your time. Yes, you know.
Got a million things to do.
Yeah.
In the next 24 hours.
Exactly, right? You got a few things you got to take care of.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking to our guest, Amy and Josh Storm from Storm Inspired Showroom. Their grand opening weekend is happening March 10th and 11th. You want to make sure you check it out. We're going to do some news, and we're going to come back and talk about some design trends. So if you want to call in, 312-981-7200, or text us or talk to us on Instagram. If you have any questions about design, about the showroom, about trends to see in 2017, 2018, I'm speaking with Amy and Josh Storm, owners of Design Storms LLC, design firm. They do new construction, remodels, interior design work. You can see them right now on House with the Kitchen of the Week. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Welcome back
to the show. And you have a grand opening coming up. We talked about Friday, Saturday, March 10th and 11th. Give us the exact address, because people are asking on their Facebook and on my Facebook, as well as texting in. Where can they find this location?
It's at 530 Pennsylvania Avenue in Glen Ellen.
And it's going to be open to the public. It's not a private showroom. It's not like the Merchandise Mart.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Now, your style, your personal style. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that not a good question?
No, it's a great question. I think it's hard to describe sometimes. So, we have in our office, we always talk about the DNA of each family, that each family has their own personal house DNA. And so when we come into a job, we want to bring the level of quality and detail that we make sure we have on every single job, whether it's how we detail the millwork or the furniture or the cabinetry or whatever, but also we want to bring in the family's own style. And so we always ask them, like, give us like 5 words that describe what's super important to you or that you want people to feel when they come into your house. And then what that does is it sort of narrows the field of what vendors we will look at or what types of furniture or how we're going to design the millwork.
What's the weirdest like 5 words you've ever gotten?
I can't say them on air.
Dark room, whips, chains.
Will you marry me?
I had some.
How many words is that?
Somebody asked me to design a room for her birds one time.
Really?
Yeah, like she really wanted to hire me to design a special room for her birds so she could let them go and fly free. And I told her I was unqualified for the job.
Just lots of like newspaper on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, hang some ropes from the ceiling.
Hang some ropes, some branches.
Yeah.
You're good. So. Spray paint them gold, a little glam to it.
A little bling in the parents' room. Yeah.
So is there a particular room that you like design more than the other?
I love doing a master bedroom and just making that a really special sort of sanctuary for a husband and wife. It seems to be the room that everybody does last.
Right.
And so when you get your hands on it and you can make it really special to them and give them a place where they can kind of get away from the kids and have their own sort of quiet time and relaxation. And sure, that's just really great when you achieve that.
Do you find it brings the boom back to the boom, boom, room?
It does. It definitely. And in fact, that's one of the things they ask for.
Right?
That's the DNA word is some
really?
Boom.
Yeah. Wow, that'd be great. Throw out the Viagra. Just redesign your bedroom. Amy and Josh got the
it's
secret.
It's all part of the DNA package.
It is, right? Yeah. It is. I mean, it does change lives when you hit the right notes in a design. Mm-hmm. How are you on energy? Like, I mean, because I'm a huge proponent of it. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in quantum physics as it relates to mm-hmm. design and that everything we touch and feel is alive. So mm-hmm. those combination of energies do create a chain reaction that mm-hmm. either creates a great design or doesn't. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's truth to that for sure. Gosh, I don't really know how to answer that question.
Let's get deep.
I'm not really like a feng shui kind of a gal, but
which is
I do
fine.
Think that
but when you walk in a room, do you feel something or you're not?
There's absolutely, and I think there's very logical ways of setting things up so that when people walk in, they can relax and they can enjoy the space. And when it's off, it's off. In fact, I've been known to be at clients' houses when they're not there. Like maybe we have work happening or something, and I find myself rearranging their mantle, fixing their centerpieces, things like that. And they come home and they're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And it's like, I can't keep my hands off of it. I need to
do you
that
slip a little invoice in there. You're like, yeah, here you go.
I do that, but it's a good idea.
Yeah, right. Leave it right next to the mantle that you just fixed.
Right.
Like, yeah, it is a good idea, isn't it?
Oh, you like it?
Here no, I'm the same way. I'll go to friends, relatives, and I'll be sitting there, and I'm like, I can't just sit here anymore.
Yeah.
I
got to get up and move that candlestick. Yeah. It's off kilter.
Yeah. But, I mean, you guys have kids at home. Do you find it hard to maintain any kind of real design at home or any kind
Absolutely.
Of...
Absolutely.
It's right, ridiculous, yeah. right? It's like yeah. I could buy the most expensive furniture. I could redesign and refix and reorganize and throw stuff out. I could turn around 5 minutes later, and it's like a tornado just ripped through the mm-hmm. house.
Yep.
I gave up.
Yeah.
You would be sad. I'd give up.
She's always embarrassed.
I did.
That's what my wife said. She goes, I'm embarrassed to have anybody over.
Yeah. I feel like we're the plumber with a leaky faucet sometimes. You know,
yeah.
Like Josh said, we remodeled our home in like 2010, and I haven't had time to do any. I want to repaint all the walls and change all the furniture.
Me too.
And who has time?
We
There's
don't.
No time.
We don't. So, the old shoemaker can't fix his own
though.
Shoes.
I'm thankful that we don't have time. We're busy. But.
I've accepted it. I don't know about you guys. You got to accept it. It's like when your kids are that young, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, my walls, I've repainted 3 times. And my daughter still insists that it's a great canvas for pens and pencils
yes.
and markers. And I can't win. I mean, yours are a little older now, right?
They're older. Well, when Josh and I were newly married and he would maybe go away for the weekend, the joke was like, what color is the wall going to be when I come back? Because
right, totally.
I would literally put the kids to bed and I would move everything out and I'd paint all the walls. But now I'm just too tired for that. So unless I have the energy to pick a color and call the painter, it's just not happening.
See, I tell my clients, I don't know about you, when they have young kids, I'm like, and they're starting to pick out expensive cabinetry and expensive furniture. I'm like, guys, I got to be real with you. I love to take your money, but I'm a nice guy.
Right.
And here's the deal.
Right.
They're going to get destroyed unless you have plenty of disposable income to change them out in 5 years.
Right.
Don't get the expensive stuff yet.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Just overhearing conversations with her clients that she's mm-hmm. having right behind me.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that in design storms, we've always strived to provide really good materials.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to fabrics, things with high double rubs and super durability, and they're not going to fade. And that's something that we've incorporated into Storm Inspired is to have fabric books in there for designers to use and for the public to use, and we won't let anybody buy anything that's not going to last.
Good for you. Good
for you. That's really important to us.
And how about design trends? Let's talk about it. What are you seeing trending right now in terms of color, in terms of furniture style? What seems to be hot in your opinion?
In our world, we're seeing a lot of white.
Just pure white, everything?
Just a lot of white. I think it's
very exciting.
It's limited. It's trendy. We're also, I mean, of course, there's a lot of antique brass finishes out there. We're actually kind of...
Pause there. Yeah. Antique brass, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Trend or here to stay?
I think it's a long trend.
I second that.
Okay.
I had a lot of clients in the last early part of well, the late part of last year, begging for it.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll do it, but don't call me in 5 years.
Right.
And you're going to say, well, Frank, I don't know why I did this. I got to change it out. Clients are fun, aren't they?
We're saying use it sparingly. Don't change all your hinges and your doorknobs. Maybe bring in a light fixture. Maybe put some fun cabinet hardware. That's something you can change in the future.
Easily done. Right. Exactly. Right. Brackets for shelves, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah, I try to steer away. And how about a colored cabinetry? What's your take on colored cabinetry?
We do a lot of white, and we do a lot of grays
cabinetry.
And charcoals.
Yeah,
white. Well, it's trendy right now.
It is, yes.
We do a lot of grays, warmer grays. I will tell people now, don't go just straight up gray. You got to bring in some of those earth tones because right now, trendy, I'm seeing a lot of natural wood colors mixed with grays, mixed with tans. I mean, we're even seeing it in the fabrics a year ago at the Mart. Everything that we started to see was tans and grays mixed.
Yeah. Isn't like Grige and taupe still really hot?
Yeah.
Those are classics. They're going to stay.
So you pull in your navy or your green or whatever you want in your room, but you still have sort of classic bones that aren't going to go out of style. And then you can just change your pillows, your throws, your candelabras, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. I mean, my mom's idea of changing color was going from almond to taupe.
Yes.
Which isn't a far stretch. And I see this all the time with clients. They really want to go for it. And they're like, oh, they go like two tones up the color chart and they're getting a nervous breakdown.
Have you ever walked into somebody's house and seen like 20 color samples on the wall? And you're like, what color were you trying to do? And they say tan. And you're like, what?
I can show you a picture on my phone right now of a client's house that's like that.
You didn't even come close.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure you advise the same. You get a couple color palettes and get them on the wall and see how it goes from there. I think color choosing is definitely one of the toughest things people go through.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can agree is like nailing that perfect color is everything.
Yep.
Because it's the largest surface in your home.
Yeah.
And my personal philosophy is like, feel it. Got to feel it. Stand in front of it.
Yeah.
Let bounce off with it. See how your energy is.
Yeah.
But,
you're
anyway.
Way more chill. I'm usually like, don't even think about it. Just put it up on the wall and be done with it. Because I know it's going to look great.
Right. Exactly. It gets to that point eventually. Yeah. Trust me. Josh, you've been really quiet, Josh. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, no.
As the guy in the situation here. How do you feel about all this? I mean,
it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Tell me more. Like, do you like working with your wife?
Well, strangers passing
strangers.
In the night.
Yeah. How does your relationship like work? when you work together all the time, and
I think we're both pretty chill. I mean, if anyone knows Amy, you wouldn't describe her as chill, but she's laid back and about everything.
That's nice.
But she's high production.
Maintenance? Were you going to say maintenance?
No, not at all.
All right.
I'm high energy.
High energy. That's good. Yeah, my wife just texted me. She just said, not funny. I guess I'm in trouble when I go home. I didn't mean it. I love you. What did I say? Did I say something wrong?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Did I say anything wrong,
Julie?
I heard
you talking about how awesome she is.
Hey, Sherry, Julie Rusin's here. She's sitting behind me. She says hi. She says she loves you. She'll bring you some cookies later.
Are you trying to make brownie points, Frank, now?
Yeah. I'm trying. You know, it's interesting, husband and wife relationships and working together. It does, let's be real, it is tough sometimes. I mean, when do you find time to just chill and, like, be in a relationship?
We have to get on a plane and go somewhere
sometimes
to make that happen. What's different about us than maybe what you guys have been doing is, like, his role is completely out of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we have totally separate jobs.
Right.
And even though we do have to communicate in order to make sure that he's...
You text each other from the next room.
We do. We do. Nice. Often we text each other.
Try that with a camera stuck in your face. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So back to our design trends. I like weaving this back in and out because it's interesting to kind of... feel somebody else's pain that suffers.
Yeah. Like,
not suffers, but enjoys the same things. We left off talking about color, and we mentioned the Pantone color of the year was this greenish color.
Yep.
They tried it many years back with emerald green, I think was the green of choice. This color is not much different.
Yeah.
A couple tones off. Are you using it much?
It's been a hard sell.
Are you trying to sell it?
Not real hard, no.
I never got that. Like, I mean, like, I get Pantone.
Maybe
I get
a pillow here and there.
I know it inspires the fashion industry and supposed to inspire the fashion industry, but really, who governs that?
Yeah,
you know, who's
I'm not
who's
sure.
The guy behind the board saying, green? You know, like, that's it today. Like, where does that come
it's
from?
It's probably trending in Europe somewhere like a couple of years ago, and it's just making its way over here. But we're using green plants. Everybody seems to love a plant.
I like that use of it.
Yeah. So we actually started selling plants out of our showroom. We've got some fiddly figs in there, and they go like crazy.
Fiddly figs?
Yeah.
What's a fiddly fig?
Oh, it's a plant.
What is
it's got like a it's got
what does
like
it look
a,
like?
Well, it's got like
it's a good
trunk.
Description, a plant.
It's got like a trunk, and then it's got big sort of waxy, beautiful green leaves. And so you can get one that's 6 feet tall or one that's 12 feet tall, and they just kind of fill in a space but higher instead of lower. So they're nice.
Sounds like a plant.
Yeah, sounds like a
You brought some fun stuff with you guys from the showroom. Let's see. I'm going to turn the camera over. If you're watching or listening, you can hop on Instagram. Follow me at Frank Fontana. You'll see what we're talking about. We got this awesome candelabra. Tell me about this.
Oh, my gosh. So we love this line. This is from Dunes and Duchess. And I'll just tell you a cute story. The two owners are dating. And the guy.
One Dunes and one's Duchess.
Yeah, well, it's Duchy and a gentleman named Michael. But he wanted to win her love. And so he built this candelabra for her out of different turned pieces of wood. And it was actually taller than the one that we brought. This one's called the Napoleon. It's the shorter version of it. But she fell in love with him and with the candelabra, and they started their own business. And so we actually met them a couple of years ago at a design show in North Carolina and fell in love with their line. And every time we show it to a client, they love it. So they have sconces, they have chandeliers, they have little tables. They just came out with a luggage rack that has leather straps on it. And
nice.
It's high gloss finish that they've been developing. So it's got that lacquer,
yeah,
but it's very
like
durable.
It's like a candy coat. Kind of looks
it's,
like
it's so gorgeous. So in
beautiful
the middle of
stuff.
Your dining table, on your buffet, wherever you want to put it, it's just so cute.
Say hi, Dave. Which is the back of your head.
So we actually have some of those available in the store, but they come in 17 standard colors, and for an upcharge, you could do any Benjamin Moore or Sherwin Williams color that you want.
Sweet.
If you wanted to custom make it.
And this, I'm holding a roll of what I think is a.
It's a vinyl floor mat.
Vinyl floor mat. I like. Did you guys create the design for it?
Floor cloth. No, actually, we get those from a company. We're the only ones in the area that we know of that carry them, and they're wonderful because you can layer them. They're only an eighth of an inch thick, and they're super durable. You can use them inside or outside. They have probably 1,000 different geometric or floral or whatever kind of pattern you want, and a lot of different colorways. So we have those available in the showroom, and they can also be ordered.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And we got some throws. I like the color here.
Yes, a little lilac for spring.
I'm seeing your theme here. I like where you're going with it. Like, are you a designer or something?
I mean, could you imagine if I brought a pillow that didn't match the candelabra or the blanket?
Check this out, folks.
It'd be so unprofessional.
We got the pillow with the pink stripes and the purple.
Spring is trending, just so you know.
Spring, and then boom, up into the candelabra. Very, very nice. I think it's a beautiful setup here, and we're going to see lots of stuff like this and more at the showroom.
Absolutely.
And people can touch and feel, right?
We have a lot of examples of the upholstered furniture line sitting on
the
floor.
Furniture.
The furniture.
They can touch and feel the furniture,
the
not furniture. Josh.
But nothing else.
No.
But for a price, Josh could be touched.
He could. Right. Depends on
it's
how
part
much
of his job description.
I'm open to it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right? If it sells the shop, it sells the shop. I mean.
The furniture pieces are really there just like a showroom, for example. So
sure.
You can touch and feel them, and then you can order what you want. But we have a ton of product that's available to just be purchased right there.
Folks, if you have some design questions, you can give us a call, 312-981-7200 here on WGN Radio 720. Or you could shoot us some questions on Instagram or text us in at the same number. I have a question. Wingback or no wingback?
I like a wingback, but with like a little bit of a more subtle curve on it.
Not so dramatic.
Not so old school. Yeah.
Yeah. Leather or upholstery?
Oh, I could go both ways.
Ooh.
Hello.
Fancy, right? Josh, leather or lace?
Lace is always in for me.
Lace is in. Right.
It's trending.
Right. All right. So my last question here, maybe my second to last question. Favorite color of all time to use in any one of your designs? Hold on, like I flip it around.
Well, it's right behind you. That mulberry fuchsia dark pink color. I just love it. It makes my heart go pitter-pat.
And would you use that on walls? And, I mean, would you use it as an accent? Because it seems pretty bold to use
it's a little
on
bold
all the walls.
For walls. Not a lot of people will go for it. But, you know, I have a client with two boys and her husband, and she let me put that on her pillows in her kitchen. I just told her she was the greatest thing ever because it makes me happy every time I walk into her house.
Gave her an hour free design
right,
consultation.
Right.
I love that.
It's just a fun punch of color, and it doesn't have to be super feminine.
Yeah.
You don't have to overdo it. Just
what's your take on, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask you one last question. Mm-hmm. What's your take on design shows? Like, what's your true feeling? Be honest. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I mean,
you know what? They're good for inspiration for people. But I don't think people really understand how long and how much detail goes into a finished product. And so.
And costs.
Yeah. Actually, costs on TV shows, I feel like, are way off compared to what we're experiencing in real life. So.
Yep. That's all I'm going to say.
I see a house get flipped for like $200,000, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, and, you know, I've been in the home improvement television industry now for, gosh, 12 years.
Yeah.
Starting on HGTV, even in before that with A&E and TLC and other shows. Most recently on A&E with this Downtown Shabby. You know, it's entertainment, it's infotainment, and it's design. And I'll leave it at that.
Yes. Well said.
Exactly. Guys, thank you so much. You know, I don't know, Dave, if we have time for the call that's coming in. We might have a quick second to take this call. If it's a quick question.
It's probably my mom.
Decorating question. Okay. Anita, let's talk to Anita then quick. Hey, Anita, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We have about 1 minute. So
I'll make it quick. I would like to know what the trend is for a painting of a dining room where you have a chair rail and molding below. Some people have told me to paint the whole wall monochromatic, and others have told me that the trend is to paint the chair rail and below in white and above the chair rail a color.
I would gauge it based on the space, but off that, I would tell you go one color, floor to ceiling.
I'm with you. Good.
Paint your baseboard, paint your crown, everything in between the same color.
And you would pick white.
Right. No, go crazy.
No.
Do something fun.
Do you have any colors in mind?
I'm going to go light and clean, like you were talking earlier. But
Let me guess, like taupe-ish?
Yeah, well, a taupe or a cream or a beige or something with a little color in it. But,
You
know, nothing too bold because that'll be taken up with a rug and appointments. But
All right.
You, because I was concerned about that molding.
There you go, professional opinion. Now go check out Storm, the gallery's opening Storm-inspired showroom Saturday, March 10th and 11th. Thank you guys so much, Amy and Josh, for joining me. This has been a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed playing along here.
Yeah.
Keep the lace thing under the pants.
You know what? We'll always have that.
Well, between us, that'll be our thing. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We're here until 3 o'clock, and this hour we're going to be talking to Deputy Secretary of State Tom Benigno's joining us a little bit after this. But first, we're going to go from design to fashion with some students here from the Illinois Institute of Art in Schaumburg. Joining us, we have Brandy Lewis, Clyde Rohrer, and Eileen Moreno. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, all at one time, please. If you could just, in harmony. One, two, three. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, guys. So tell me why you're here today.
Well, we are here to discuss the fashion show that we're going to have on Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Renaissance in Schaumburg. And it's going to be huge, so I'm hoping to get
Why
a lot
is it going
to
be huge? Tell me.
Well, first off, because it's a charitable event. And charitable events are always great.
Absolutely.
All proceeds from this event do go to the Hesed House of Aurora, Illinois. Anybody who's unfamiliar, it's the second largest homeless shelter in Illinois. So they do great things.
Where are they located?
In Aurora, Illinois.
Aurora, okay.
Yeah, and they help everybody from, you know, people with past drug addictions, people finding it hard to get a job, anybody. They just really focus on keeping people off the streets. So they're an awesome place to work with.
And about the show itself, you brought some of the students as well, who are designers and models. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the program and how it's helped and inspired you. Let's start with Clyde.
Well, I know that this year the theme is supposed to be, it's an acronym, it's ART. It's
Tell me again.
Ascend.
Yeah.
Rise.
Transcend. Yes. Okay. And it's the idea of like getting over like big issues and struggles, which I think is why Hesed House was such a great charity to have. But like I know personally, like my collection is. I have four. One of them is like the gods and goddesses, and then it goes into like the elements, and then the creation of man, and like the world pretty much crumbling to bits. So it shows like the program of like, I guess, just growing and ascending in a way.
Yeah, you're wearing a pretty interesting piece right now.
Oh, yes, this is actually part of one of my collections.
Can you stand up and let me see it?
Yeah, sure.
Very. Explain what we're looking at right here.
So this is part of my senior collection I made for school called Adamless Eve. And it kind of goes on, like, the end of the world spectrum of fashion, but dark and glamorous. And this is actually my raccoon. Her name is Ivy.
Ivy.
And it is actually real.
It's real, right?
Too.
Does it bite?
No, thankfully she doesn't bite. She's pretty
Clyde
pretty
does,
tame.
Not Ivy.
But, yeah, it's... I think it'll be good this year. I haven't been told officially by my school board, but I'm pretty sure that I'm best in show. I've heard rumors.
Wow, he's confident. He's very confident. How do you feel about that, Eileen?
I'm a freshman, so this is my first time modeling, being a designer. I'm a fashion designer, and it's really exciting to model for him. His garments are really beautiful.
You're designing and modeling as well?
Mm-hmm. I just have two complete looks. Because I'm very new at this, my inspiration is more clean lines, very sexy, but very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I go for.
If you were to pick a designer to say who you are, your lines are most like, let's start with Eileen. Who would you say you're modeled after? If you were to say, is it like Carolina Herrera? Is it Betsy Johnson? Is it who are some of your icons that you look towards?
It has to be Chanel since she has that classic look, and that's really what I'm going for.
Yes. I like it. How about you?
My personal three favorites who I kind of like aspire to be more like would have to be...
Let's get a little feedback there, Dave. I think it's the mic. Hey, Eileen, why don't you... There you go. I think it's your headset that's hitting the microphone there. So you were saying again? I'm sorry.
So my three, I think, biggest inspirations or who I... aspire to be almost like would be Zach Posen. I love his evening wear.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go with Yves Saint Laurent. I love his vintage sort of sexy glamour, I guess you could call it. I don't know. I like vintage.
Sure.
And then last, I would have to say probably Alexander McQueen. Mm-hmm. Always.
I could see a little Alexander McQueen going on with the raccoon on your shoulder. And you're a designer yourself, Brandy?
I am.
Tell us about your inspiration.
So I'm kind of all over the place. Actually, running joke when I was putting all my stuff together because I didn't really have a complete like collection per se when I was getting ready to submit my stuff for the jury show.
Mm-hmm.
And so Clyde and I were in the fashion sewing room, and I was like, look at all this stuff I have, guys. It's great, but it's like everywhere. And Clyde was like, yeah, you could call it disaster couture because it's kind of a mess. But
I'd buy that line.
Anything with couture sounds
good. You know
what? Exactly,
if
right?
You've ever seen like 90s Versace, 80s, 90s
Sweetheart,
Versace.
I grew up in the 90s.
Yeah, colorful. Very...
I was at the Johnny Versace mansion when it wasn't even open.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome back in the day when he was alive, actually.
Yeah.
So I know what you're saying.
I love Versace. I love McQueen. You know, Galliano. I really just like any designer. I think that everybody's unique, but I probably would associate myself more with like McQueen or Versace with that madness and kind of things are everywhere.
I dig it. It's pulsefashionshow.com is the website, correct?
Yes.
And then people can find more about the Hesed House. Do they have a website, do you know?
It's on our website, and we're also located on Facebook, so you can find us on Facebook as well.
Okay, perfect.
And there's more about the Hesed House on both. I'm not really sure. I'm sure they have probably HesedHouse.com is.
Okay, and give out the web address one more time, and then the Facebook link for the actual Pulse Fashion Show. And give me some dates. I think it said March 9th is the actual date of the event?
Yes.
Yeah, so the date of the event is March 9th, and doors open at 7:30 for general admission. We do also have VIP tickets available, and there's going to be a VIP mixer from 7 to 8, which is always like popping and lots of fun.
I love it.
So, yeah, lots of free stuff for VIPs.
And cool. Just so everyone knows, the show begins at 8. Tickets for general admission are $20. VIP is $65. While if you are a student, bring your ID. And I'm pretty sure they'll get you like $12 for a student.
Well, yeah, but at the door, it's a little more.
Oh, yes. So. At the door, it will be more. That's just the pre-sale. So the price is maybe, I think it's like $25. I don't know what VIP is. But yes, it's really not that expensive.
No,
so.
And trust me, it's worth going to see Clyde's raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the raccoon. Hey, folks.
And knowing that the proceeds go to charity, everybody. Come on now. Who doesn't want to help folks. Out people?
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show, the only show that can take you from food, fashion design to politics in 2 short hours. Right? How does that go? Joining me live in studio is my honor to have Tom Benigno and Peter Fontanetta from the Norwich First Team. Tom is running for mayor of Norwich. And just to give you a little background here, I'm sure you know the guy. You know the name. Tom holds a master's degree from Dominican University and is a dedicated family man, a great guy, a wonderful neighbor, and has proven to be a phenomenal public servant. He works currently for the Secretary of State, Jesse White, handpicked to be the Deputy Secretary and Chief of Staff. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank.
It's a pleasure and honor to have you here, sir. So, you know, you hold an amazing position right now in the state of Illinois. You do amazing things for the people in our state, and you're going to be downsizing soon.
Yes.
And I think it's a perfect move for you. Tell me why you have such a passion for A, Norwich, and B, to stay in public service.
Well, first off, as you said, I've been with the Secretary for 18 years. As is Chief of Staff and Deputy Secretary of State. We handle a $390 million budget. We have about 4,000 employees statewide. I am looking forward to running for mayor of Norwich. I want to bring my long experience and knowledge to the village of Norwich, and that's why we're running for the future of Norwich. That's why the Norwich First Party got together about 2 years ago.
And part of that party is one of your members here, Peter Fontanetta, who shares a similar last name to me, Peter.
I sure do, Frank.
Very close. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having us.
So, Peter, you've been a resident for Norwich for 21 years, and you've been a village advocate and volunteer during that time. And now you're part of the big picture message here with Tom. Tell us about your involvement and what can people expect from the campaign?
I think what people could expect in Norwich from our campaign is honesty and integrity. We really try to push that with our campaign. And I've been working with Tom for the last 2 years on this campaign, and I don't think you'll find a more honest and integrable man, that I can honestly say. And I've lived in the village for 22 years. I've raised my family. I have 2 girls, Nicole and Alexis.
Hi, girls.
Nicole is 24. Her birthday was on Friday. And my younger daughter, Alexis, is 19. My older daughter is getting married next year. So we've
congratulations.
Thank you. We've been in the village for, again, like I said, for 22 years. I sat on the zoning board in the village of Norwich for 10 years.
Yeah.
I was involved in baseball with the girls. So I've done a lot in Norwich, and I'd like to see Norwich improve a little bit more. And I think we're headed that way with Tom.
Now, Tom, tell me about Norwich yourself. I mean, you live in Norwich, and what is it about that town and that city and that village that makes it so special?
I love Norwich. We've been in Norwich also since 1995. My wife, Ben, and my 3 children, Daniela, Lucy, and Anthony. Anthony, in fact, similar to Pete, Anthony's getting married May 6th.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Nothing like a good Italian wedding, right?
Nothing like a good Italian wedding. We're going to have about 500 people at the wedding.
Yeah, that's a small one.
Yeah, it's
a small wedding.
One. It's a small one. But yes, and Norwich is a great town. And when I moved in, it was very, very warm and fuzzy, and it really was a great little village.
And has things changed?
Well, that's what we want to bring back. You know, it's time for a change. You used a nice word there, yeah. Frank. It's time for a change. The people that have been in, and I'm not here to talk about the people that have been in, but they've been in since, like, 1981. Their party has been around since 1958.
Sure, old regime, old thinking.
Exactly. We want to think outside of the box. There's a lot of new and great things we can do for the Village of Norwich, and that's what we're running for, the future of Norwich. Not today, but the future of Norwich. There's a lot of things that are very, very important to us in Norwich.
Certainly, and being in such a high-powered political position currently, to bring that expertise to, you know, your home village, your hometown, is such a great thing, I would imagine, for the community. And especially when you talk about topics like, you know, working with the police department. You know, what's your you know, platform regarding the police?
I've talked to many of the policemen in Norwich, and right now we have about 35 full-time policemen. And when we've gone door-to-door, I've been going door-to-door and doing also coffees at people's house with 10 or 12 people.
You're bringing the pastries, too? The cannolis,
pastries,
right?
From Allegretti's restaurant.
Of course,
Allegretti's pastry in Norwich. I got to give a plug. They're the best. But anyway, yes. And they're on, what's on their mind is that town. When we first moved here, we saw patrol cars going around the neighborhood. We don't see them anymore. In 1981, they had 39 full-time policemen. Today, there's 35. Hmm. And calls have gone up 4 or 5 times in those years.
Is it budget cuts, or is it what's the take on that?
Well, our opponent is calling it technology. Now, we're just saying, and I, like I said, I'm here to talk about what we're going to do, not about what he's doing.
Sure.
But we're saying what technology takes the place of a patrol car on a street.
Sure.
And that's what the people are saying. I don't see robots out there, they told me, Tom.
I mean, there's nothing like seeing the good old boys in blue driving up your block. I mean, I think that's the biggest deterrent. You know, I'm not against technology when it comes to crime fighting at all, but I do agree with you. I think, you know, seeing physical bodies, people who care, you know, and get out of the car and walk around and check things out is really important. We do have a couple more minutes here before the break, and then Tom Benigno is going to be sticking with us. Pete Fontanetta is also joining us for the Village Trustee. This is the Norwich First Party. And Tom, it's really important, you know, with the issues here when we talk about schools. You know, it's a key topic for any village, you know, especially Norwich where you're running. Talk to me about, you know, the take on the taxes and stuff with the schools.
Yeah, there's a problem right now at School District 80 in Norwich, and that's a big concern of just about everybody's house I go to that are in, that's in that school district. And they need money. They're broke. And they're looking either to raise their taxes, which, you know, a lot of seniors in Norwich, they can't take a tax hike. Like they tell me when I go to their house, Tom, Social Security is not increasing my check. How could I pay more taxes?
Sure.
So we have to think outside the box, and we have to get money that's earmarked for education, because education is very important. I sold real estate for 12 years. I was a real estate broker. The first thing out of anybody's mouth when they're thinking about an area to move into, how's the school system?
Yeah.
How's the school system?
Absolutely. And then the second with that is the taxes.
The taxes,
you know,
right.
That all comes along with it. Does the tax numbers equate to the quality of education in the Norwich school districts, in your opinion?
Not right now. Right now, okay? There's things that can be done. There's things that we should be doing. We should have looked at a long-range plan. We should have looked at other grant money that's earmarked for education.
Sure.
And these are things that we're going to look into. These are things that's about the future of Norwich, as I stated earlier. That's what this is about, the future of Norwich.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about, you know, some of the more the corporate side of things and the businesses. Are they staying? Are they leaving Norwich? And, you know, just in general, like I live in a small town, you know, in LaGrange, and it's a great little town, a great village. And it's got a real warm and fuzzy community in there. And I believe that's part of your mission here, is to bring back that kind of Main Street feel to Norwich. And part of that is also the businesses that support that. And we are going to be taking calls. We're speaking to Tom Benigno, Pete Fontanetta from the Norwich First Party, running for mayor of Norwich. The election is in April, correct?
April 4th.
Now, why is it called Island in the City?
Because Norwich is basically surrounded by Chicago. We're surrounded three sides by Chicago and one side by Howard Heights.
Yeah.
And when we used to sell real estate, I used to be a real estate broker, we used to call it suburban address city living, because you have the convenience of Chicago, yet we're not putting up with all the fees that Chicago has.
Sure.
And all.
So yeah.
It's separate.
And the housing there is a lot of ranches, and you have a couple of beautiful homes I've driven through many, many times, friends who live in the neighborhood. I love the architecture of some of the homes I see there. What makes us a great village, in my opinion, is the businesses and the people who support it. Now, what's going on there in terms, in your opinion, of the current state of the, you know, the businesses in Norwich?
Once again, I go back to the vision and the long-range plan for Norwich and the future of Norwich, the reason why we're running the Norwich First Party. The businesses aren't there. The quality businesses aren't there. We're getting surrounded by our suburbs that are basically eating us up with great businesses. Howard Heights is a neighboring, as I said, we board Howard Heights on one side,
yeah,
a neighboring suburb, and they just had Portillo's built. They're getting Art Van furniture. They have a Starbucks. They have a Buena Beef.
Hmm.
They have, I don't know what else I'm missing, Pete, but some quality businesses that make that community, and these businesses would bring a lot of tax revenue into the city, into the village of Norwich, which keeps it strong. And that's,
absolutely.
And that's what we need. We're very stagnant in our business growth, economic growth. There's no new taxes coming in. Our biggest tax base, our only really tax base, is Harlem and Irving Plaza.
Right.
And that's been there for years and years and years. And it's a great tax base.
Sure.
We make our money. The village makes our money off them for the taxes. But we need to think about the future and about some new businesses that would also attract the young.
Sure. Like, so the mom and pop businesses that exist there, I mean, are they turning over? Are you seeing new and exciting potential coming to it? Is that part of your mission to draw some of these companies in that would bring a younger audience?
That's what I think, Frank. I think we need to draw new businesses in. I actually had a business in Norwich for 20 years. I had a jewelry store, which we moved about 7 years ago. So we're in a neighboring suburb, which is sure. Howard Heights. But yes, like Tom said, you're not seeing a lot of that kind of new business coming in.
Yeah. And so it's an important thing to support the economy of the town. And I'd love to hear from some of the people in Norwich that have questions for you. We have some phone calls coming in. 312-981-7200, giving an open platform to talk to Tom Benigno, who's running for mayor of Norwich. And is also the deputy chief of staff of the Secretary of State here in Illinois. If you have any other questions regarding that as well, Tom would be happy to answer. Let's talk to one of our listeners, Sam. Hey, Sam, thanks for calling the show.
Thanks for having me. Just want to comment on me looking forward to the election on April 4th, looking forward to the change that Tom represents, looking forward to electing him into office. One of the reasons why I came to Norwich, obviously, is for the school system
yeah.
and what the village represents. I'm sorry?
So you have young kids, Sam?
Yeah, I do, and they're getting ready to go to school. So, and I do like the vision that Tom and Peter stand for the change.
Mm-hmm.
I witnessed what he stood for at the Secretary of State's office. I followed it with watching what happened at the Secretary of State's office. I saw how he turned that department around. I know he's a very hardworking and honest individual, and I look forward to having him represent us as our mayor and me growing with this city.
That's awesome, Sam. And is there one particular thing you would say to Tom? Tom, you know, if you could do one thing, what would you, for you, Sam, be the biggest impact that can help change the village?
Freshen it up. I mean, there's a lot of new things that are other villages and cities are doing, and I think we can spruce it up. I think we're on a pretty good pace to
so from an aesthetic standpoint, and this is kind of, I was talking to Tom off air about this, you know, because I'm all about the design and visual aspects of you know, living and you know, talking about the town itself. So your opinion is that you could definitely use a little bit of a facelift here and there.
Freshen it up. Yeah, absolutely. And I know his vision, and he's a very progressive man, and he'll do just that.
Thank you, Sam, and you're exactly right. When I go door-to-door, one of the main things that people also bring up is that Norwich does not have a downtown. We do not have a downtown Norwich.
And that's big. I mean, you need somewhat of a destination for a little village to grow, in my opinion.
Yes, and there's an area where we can call it. In fact, I wanted to call it the Streets of Norwich and put some outdoor cafes in there, maybe do some festivals. Norwich is mostly Polish.
Yeah.
And then Italian and a mixture. We can have some festivals in there. We can get to know our neighbors. We don't know our neighbors any longer, I should say. And that's our goal, as once again, why we're running, to keep Norwich strong, independent, and safe.
Yeah.
But also to bring back, as you said earlier, Frank, that warm and fuzzy feeling.
That Main Street feeling.
That Main Street feeling. It's a great feeling.
It is. It is. Sam, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Thanks,
all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
And we're taking your calls. They're talking to Tom Benigno and Peter Fontanetta, running for mayor. Tom is running for mayor. Peter is running for village trustee of Norwich. Let's take some more calls here. We have Carrie on the line. Hey, Carrie, thanks for calling. Do you have a question for Tom or Peter?
Yes, I just want to know if Peter has a brother named Paul.
Peter, do you have a brother named Paul?
No, I don't. I have a brother named Victor.
Oh, okay.
It's possible that there might be a relation somewhere, but no, I have a twin brother. His name is Victor.
Well, That's a cool name, too.
Okay, thank you. Well, Fontana has a cool name, too.
Why, thank you. I appreciate it. Carrie, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You got it. All right, we have some more calls coming in. Let's talk to Vic. Hey, Vic, thanks for calling the show. You're talking to Tom Benigno, running for Norwich mayor, as well as Peter Fontanetta and myself. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I've traveled through that area many, many times. I grew up on the Lawrence Avenue in Western. I drove a truck for years through Howard Heights and Norwich. I would say one of the things you got to do is that the intersection of Gunnison, Harlem, and Lawrence, that's quite the bottleneck. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, how it jogs over.
Tom, what kind of an undertaking, you know, for based on what Vic is talking about here, goes into making big change like that?
That's something that we'd have to bring before the board, and actually we'll have meetings, open meetings with that, to make sure that it is an issue with the village.
Yeah.
I know where he's talking about. There's a light there that it seems the last 15 minutes. It's not 15
right.
minutes. But there is a light there that when you're waiting for that light, I mean, you can shave. That's
so, yeah, especially if you're going southbound on Harlem.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there is
yeah.
something that we can look into. And like I said, I wouldn't want to do any change without bringing the residents in
right.
and seeing their issue or their views on that.
Excellent. Thanks for the call, Vic. We appreciate it.
Good question,
Thank
Vic.
You.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, the folks, you know, the residents of Norwich, you know, are looking for change. I love the idea that what Sam's talking about the visual aesthetics. I think it's important as you drive through a town. You know, I think it's nice to have that feeling. And I go through all the different towns in the state of Illinois. I travel a lot. I do a lot of appearances and speaking stuff. And I care about, you know, the state as a whole. You know, and especially from a visual component, I'd like to see like the flavor of each town. So, if you were to say, guys, the flavor on, you know, buttoning this up because we have to go in a little bit here. What do you want to bring to, you know, the overall feeling of the village of Norwich? Like, leaving your mark, Tom.
I want to bring the neighborhood back. I want to bring the way it was. Okay, when people knew each other, I want to bring some more programs for the kids yes. and the policemen to get together.
And the seniors as well, too.
And the seniors. A lot of programs have been dropped for the senior. A lot of Norwich Park District programs have been dropped.
Yeah.
And there's no need for that. Change is healthy, as you said.
Right.
You know, I always say, and I won't keep long, but, you know, companies that didn't change, service merchandise, Montgomery Ward's, Polk Brothers, they're no longer here. Eastern
yeah.
Airlines was the biggest airlines in the free world, refused to change.
Mm.
We have to change for the better, and that's
right.
what we're looking to change for the better for Norwich.
Awesome.
And obviously, too, also, Tom, is the closeness that the village once had.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, Norwich used to be a very close-knit community, and I want to bring that back to the village again. I want Tom and I go, obviously, with the party as well. We want to be seen, not only just at election time. We want to be out there all the time.
Part
of the
neighborhood.
Right,
part of the
neighborhood. Like Tom said, we're going to have, you know, open forums. People are going to just come and express their concerns and their opinions. We've been doing that the last couple of weeks, and it's been totally positive. It's been a good experience.
You're right on. Our family and I, we love to go to festivals. We go to other towns' festivals because it's a shame. You know, that's definitely something that you know should be brought back. I think in most villages across, you know, Illinois, is just to bring the community together. I think that social media and technology has driven people apart. You know, I feel like it's almost time for a resurgence of Main Street. Put the cell phones away. Come yes. together. You know, and be a community again. Tom, thank you so much. Peter, thank you so much. Once again, the election is?
April 4th. So please come out and vote and support the Norwich First Party to keep Norwich strong, independent, and safe, and for the future of Norwich.
And you guys have a website or social media?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
So, fine.
I would like to say one thing before we close,
sure.
Tom. Or Frank, excuse me. Monday is the last day to register to vote on paper, but people could still register to vote online until March 19th. Also, grace period registration begins March 7th. That will be a Tuesday. To vote in person at any of the early voting sites, but must vote and register at the same time. So keep that in mind. But March 20th does start early voting.
Okay.
All the way, I think, through April 3rd, which I think
April
is 3rd. That Monday.
Yes,
okay.
April 3rd.
Well, listen, I want to check back with you guys as the race heats up to see how things are going.
We would appreciate that.
It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're here until 3 o'clock today, and every Sunday from 1 to 3, time for My Faves, and this is where we review some fun products out there. And one of Dave's biggest frustrations is when you get to the bottom of the barrel of your lotions or your gels and all that kind of stuff, it's so frustrating. You either have to take a knife and try to hack at the back of it and get it off. But my next guest, Michelle Gast, has figured out a way to avoid all that. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Frank.
All right, so tell me about Butylities.
Well, Butylity is a company that I started a couple years ago. And I've always had ideas for products. And once my kids were in school, I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. And I wanted to start a company called Butylity. Butylity, the definition is the state of being both beautiful and useful. And it really encompasses what I'm trying to do to be an ally to women, to give them problem-solving products, and also to partner with A21 to try to fight human trafficking.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I love the cause.
Thank you.
And so this is something that came out of frustration for you?
It did. This was an idea. I have always had a lot of ideas, and I've seen, you know, people throughout the years bring quote unquote my ideas to market.
Yeah, don't you hate that?
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. Like I thought of that 10 years ago.
I did. And you know, I just thought, you know what? It's my fault. I'm going to do it when my boys get in school. So I did. And this idea actually came to me in October of 2006. I was getting ready once again in the morning. And yet again was facing that daunting problem, the nagging problem of my lotion being stuck in my container, not being able to get every last drop out. So I went down to the kitchen to try to find a spatula small enough to fit in the tight neck containers, and I couldn't find anything. Right. And right away, I had that idea of the beauty scoop.
So I'm holding the beauty scoop as we speak right here, and it's not quite a spoon. Mm-hmm. It's a hybrid of a... What would you call the design?
You know, I call it a scoop. It is not flat like a spatula.
Nope.
The problem with a flat spatula is that you can't get it in the tight openings.
Right.
So when I had the idea, I wanted, this is dual tipped, as you
see. Test
it
as you're speaking right now. Here.
Oh, sure. It's got a small scoop on one end, and it's got a little bit larger scoop on the other end. So the patented design of this, the beauty of it, is that it's flexible enough to collapse. If you see, I brought you a little sample.
Oh, yeah.
So it collapses to get into tight-necked containers, but then it flares back out to cling to the sides like a windshield wiper to capture the product and cradle it back out the tight opening without spills. So the concave nature allows it to fit in the tight opening and also to cradle the product so you don't have any spills, whereas a flat spatula you would. So you're able to recoup your beauty, your time, and your money, not to mention your sanity, because you're tired of, you know, shaking
my
it
wife
down
is and... going to freak out over this because, you know, she likes to buy like fancy lotions and stuff that aren't cheap. And when you get to the bottom, it's like you don't want to waste an ounce of it because like that literally probably costs like $10 for that drop of lotion.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of the lotions and the gels and the serums we use especially are very expensive. You can pay over $100 for an ounce.
Yeah.
And that's another great thing about the tiny spatula, the tiny end here, this tiny scoop, because I made it small enough to get into lip glosses as well as in expensive serums, tubes of product, and lipsticks too. When you get down and that your lipstick's flat, you can see this lip gloss. It got into the tiny opening. It's going to scrape out every last
drop. And folks,
drop.
Hop on to WGNradio.com/watch and you can see Michelle testing this out. Our cameras are up over here. Wow, that's, I mean, seriously, like, is this on the market right now?
It is. It's on the market. You can buy it at www.livebutylity.com.
And the spelling of Butylity, why don't you give the spelling of that?
So it'd be Live, L-I-V-E, and Butylity is B-E-A-U-T-I-L-I-T-Y. Again, it's a combination of beauty and utility, making things better.
You know, I'm going to go off topic here for a second. I love barbecue sauce. I can imagine this being my best friend when it comes down to, like, you know, like you're searching for that last drop of ketchup and your fries just, you know, are screaming for the ketchup. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, have you used this for food?
I have. It actually is food safe. And
it feels like that rubber that you would get on a spatula, correct?
It's similar feeling. It is like a silicone based, food safe, dishwasher safe. You can wash it with soap and water, put it in the dishwasher, use makeup wipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do use it on my salad dressings, on my ketchup, any condiment. Any time you have a tight necked container like this, it collapses beautifully to get in it and gets every drop out.
I got your spinoff. Futility, yes.
You know what? Actually, our plans are to extend the line into a kitchen goop scoop, an artist goop scoop, a guy's goop scoop, because the number one growing market in beauty is the male.
I know. Trust me. I got a whole dedicated like side of the cabinet to my stuff.
The whole side of the cabinet.
Yeah. I get a little side of the cabinet. We live in an old, small home, vintage 1920s Victorian that doesn't have any closets. So, yes, I have a portion of a small bathroom. But those are my gripes. I'm sorry. But I could see how this tool would be a phenomenal a way to, you know, save money. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, how much does the product cost?
You know, the small scoop, it comes in 8 inches, which is what this is. And it also comes in an 11 inch for tall body lotions when the pump stops working. It's
or
heavy.
Shampoos or conditioners.
Shampoos, conditioners, exactly. So the single item is $9.99.
Okay.
And then the duo set with the 8-inch and the 11-inch is anywhere between $14.99 and $16.99. So a lot of people bought them for stocking stuffers and
great
Mother's Day present.
Absolutely.
A note for the guys. Yes. You know, you get something practical like this for your wife, add some chocolates to it.
You're a hero.
Some jewelry.
You're a hero.
You're a triple threat. Yeah.
Awesome. Michelle Gass, thank you so much. Butilities is the name of the product. The website, one more time.
The Recoup Beauty Scoop is the name of the product, and the website is livebutility.com.